Up next, our resident satirist and commentator, Mr. Patrick Cook.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars.
On ABC Radio National, you're listening to Counterpoint with Michael Duffy and Paul Comrie Thompson. There's nothing else quite like it on your ABC.
In other words, I love you.
The Qantas strike against the Qantas union strike took the federal government by surprise. Ms. Gillard's new IR laws give total control of industry relations and the economy to the unions. They give unions the right to tell employers exactly what their companies can and cannot do to earn a living. Company union reps have become company commissars. What could go wrong? Mr. Joyce was good enough to demonstrate some technical flaws. At first he discussed them politely, when he told Mr. Albanese in several meetings, "Would you please intervene before Qantas goes broke? I am afraid we may have to shut down Qantas before we go broke, and we really are going to have to shut down Qantas." But Mr. Albanese, a busy man, did not notice that Qantas had shut down until his electorate of Kingsford Smith Airport suddenly went quiet and he could hear himself panic. Courteous to the last, Mr. Joyce rang Ms. Gillard to tell her that he really was going to shut Qantas down unless she had a better idea. Ms. Gillard, however, not only launched Christine Nixon's book, but appears to have read it, for she responded to this crisis by feeding her face and not taking calls. This is all the fault of Ms. Gillard's new advisers, who have told her to behave like an international statesperson, rather than Walter Ulbricht on a bad day, for she was a chogum, hosting a depleted guest list. Mr. Cameron turned up late because Greece is taking Europe down the gurgler, and so could not repeat his ululating praise for the carbon tax. Only the Canadian Foreign Minister popped in to tell her that a carbon tax was economic suicide. And the Indian Prime Minister could not attend, either because he was opening a new Indian nuclear power station, or because he hates Australia's guts for not selling India the uranium to fuel it. Pressing on, Miss Gillard, the statesperson, announced concern for the poor and suffering of the world, except for the Indians, who can sit in the dark around their flickering cow dung fires, belching out carbon dioxide for all Australia cares. Ms. Gillard, the Prime Minister, then announced that all the delegates were now grounded in Perth. Qantas was then dumped on the Fair Work mob, who were hiding. This is because the tribunal is stacked to the gunwale with union cheerleaders, but they are also Labour cheerleaders and feared a conflict of interests. The intrusion of an actual employer posed an awkward dilemma. Life is always difficult for a referee in one team's colours. It all recalls Jurassic Park, because it is the first fruit of Ms. Gillard's retro IR laws, designed to return Australia to the golden days of the 1970s, where protection meant that everything was expensive and nothing much happened, and giant lumbering unions roamed a prehistoric landscape. Golden days before the 1970s Labour government was buried beneath two successive landslides and the comet of globalisation struck. It is even more nostalgic because the union's real beef about Qantas jobs going overseas has a whiff of the union's original White Australia policy about it. Qantas planes will be unsafe if they are serviced by Asian companies because Johnny Asian cannot maintain modern aviation technology. This nostalgia is perfectly timed. 70 years since we were last assured that Asians cannot maintain or fly modern aircraft, just before Pearl Harbor. At least attention was diverted from the Labour leadership challenge. Or rather it wasn't, because Mr. Rudd seems to have evolved from delusional to deranged, hosting a rock concert in the belief that he is Freddie Mercury and therefore the champion of the world. The crowd roared because crowds are sometimes cruel, especially on karaoke nights. Mr. Rudd's challenge presently has the numbers of the silent and also the invisible majority of caucus, and may yet be a lonely majority of one. But Ms. Gillard also appears to be flaking. Like Jimmy Stewart in the delightful film Harvey, she believes she is being followed and thwarted by a Mr. Rabbit. With a twitch of his nose, Mr. Rabbit has grounded her airline and forced her to drown people. With a flick of his scut, Mr. Rabbit has conned her into lending billions of dollars to Greece. Next, he will point out that Greece is broke because some goose handed over the Greek economy to the unions. Mr. Rudd's invisible friends are a worry, but Ms. Gillard's invisible enemies are a positive menace.
Patrick Cook, Counterpoint's regular satirist and commentator, returns in 1 month.